Thank you for tuning into my podcast. In this episode, I'd like to explore a very disconcerting but real question. Why has America become so mean? Let me point out a few examples. We know that there is an epidemic of bullying in our politics, in our schools, in our workplaces. I read a report recently that a significant number of nurses are leaving the profession because they face cruel treatment from senior peers, from patients, from doctors. Restaurant owners are reporting that they are ejecting customers more frequently because of bad behavior. Hate crimes have increased over the past decade, and gun sales have soared. And now we have a major American political party whose nominee feels empowered and encouraged in his behavior of mocking the disabled, mocking his opponent's stutter, and expressing his affinity for autocratic strongmen bullies. What's going on in our culture that has allowed this to become normalized? David Brooks explored this problem in a September 2023 article in The Atlantic. He presented possible causes, including the influence of technology and social media, social isolation, economic inequality, a sense of loss of hope, and a culture of grievance. But he came to the conclusion that while these might play a role in the chemistry of the meanness we're living with, he suggests that there is a deeper, more compelling issue. We don't do well at teaching people how to be good people, to keep their selfish impulses under control, to instill basic social and ethical skills and values, for example, like how to disagree constructively with another person, how to engage in dialogue, how to be a good neighbor. Moreover, we don't help people to explore questions about how to live a meaningful life. J.F. Roxburgh, a former headmaster of the Scottish Stowe School, stated that his role as a teacher was to, quote, form people who are acceptable at a dance and invaluable in a shipwreck. Up until about World War II, communities and institutions were intentional about cultivating moral character. And this flowed through institutions like churches and the Boy Scouts. But in our era, we've lost both community and a sense of the importance of being guided by moral values. Brooks noted that these two realities are linked. To ask people to build a moral and spiritual life outside of community is asking too much. When there is a community and morality vacuum, people will seek to fill it with politics, tribalism, and pseudo-values that sound like this. If you're okay with it and you don't get caught, then do whatever you want. Or, as one of my teenage students told me, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. I'd like to suggest that the world's great religious traditions, especially Judaism and Christianity, are well equipped to lead a renaissance of moral community formation. Our sacred texts, especially the Old Testament books, which comprise the Torah and the Wisdom Canon, were intended to guide people in establishing a just moral society and living as good neighbors. Like the founding fathers of the United States, our ancestors in faith who wrote the biblical books believed that people need guidance, they need formation, they need education and what it means to be a righteous, moral, neighborly member of a community. The book of Leviticus, for example, has a series of injunctions that include don't defraud your neighbor, don't lie, don't slander people, don't hold back wages, show respect for the elderly, treat the poor with generosity and compassion, don't mock the deaf and blind. The book of Proverbs has wisdom about the proper use of speech, about how to be a respectful neighbor, about choosing friends and associates carefully. Sirach was meant to teach boys how to be gentlemen. Above all, there is a consistent thread through our tradition that seeks to form people in being the best version of a human being. A major part of that formation is teaching people how to act decently toward each other in the complex circumstances of everyday interactions. We would call this social skills training. And I think in our present era, this training needs to include communication principles, how to apologize in a mature, authentic way, how to be reliable, how to be trustworthy, how to be a consistent friend, how to make conversation, how to be gracious and well-mannered, to disagree respectfully, to give your attention to others, whether it be in the classroom, at the dinner table, in a conversation, in church, wherever. And I highlight that last point, mindful that I have never had so many students falling asleep in class as I have seen in this past school year. As things stand now, we do not offer any formal guidance on how to be an upstanding, moral, values-oriented person. And the price for that omission is a culture of meanness that appears to be growing geometrically. I'd like to close my reflection with a quote from the prophet Micah. He has told you what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. So I invite all of us to meditate on how we can live these values of justice, kindness, integrity, and humbleness in the complex circumstances of our lives, how we can role model these for others, and how we can form our young people in them, and thus combat the insidious culture of American meanness. Thank you for your time and attention, and God bless you.